السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، اما بعد، فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي، اللهم اهد قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي. So what month are we in right now? The month of Muharram. What Hijri year is it? 1437, mashallah. Good. So Muharram, 1437. The month of Muharram is the first month of the Islamic calendar, of the Islamic year, of the lunar year. And the month of Muharram is a sacred month also. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم ذلك الدين القيم فلا تظلموا فيهن أنفسكم وقاتلوا المشركين كافة كما يقاتلونكم كافة واعلموا أن الله مع المتقين.
Verily, the number of months with Allah is 12 in a year. It was so ordained by Allah on the day when He created the heavens and the earth. Of them, 4 are sacred. So these 12 months are basically the natural months, right? This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the earth. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the place that we live in. That there are 12 months. And 4 of those months are sacred. That is the right religion. Allah says, فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. So do not wrong yourselves in these months. Meaning in these sacred months in particular, you should refrain from ظلم. You should refrain from injustice, from oppression. That which is committed against yourself and أَنفُسَكُمْ. Remember, it's individually on oneself. But as believers, as Muslims, we are like one body. So أَنفُسَكُمْ also means each other. Yourselves, meaning your own people. Those who are related to you in your religion, your own Muslim brothers and sisters. Neither oppress yourself, nor should you oppress others. This is why Qatada, he said that zulm, oppression in the sacred months, is greater in sin and greater in burden than zulm in other times of the year. Why? Because ظلم in and of itself, it is something that is serious in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But since Allah has selected this time of the year to be sacred, this is why oppression, any form of injustice committed in these months will also be very, very serious. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can magnify from His commands whatsoever He wills. So Muharram, remember, it is one of the 4 months that are sacred. Which are the other 3 months that are sacred? Okay, Rajab, Dhul Qa'dah, and Dhul Hijjah. Now, if you think about it, Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, Muharram. Dhul Qa'dah and Dhul Hijjah, they are at the end of the year. Muharram is at the beginning of the year. And Rajab is the 7th month. So it's in the middle of the year. So it is as though we are reminded of the sacredness of those things, of those places, of those objects, of those matters, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared sacred. And we are reminded of their sanctity, and we are trained to show respect for these matters, for these things, for these places, for these times. We see this is done 3 times a year, at the beginning of the year, in the middle of the year, and at the end of the year. Why? Because as time goes by, it is very easy to begin to lose respect for those things that deserve respect. Doesn't it happen that when you develop a friendship with a particular individual, at the beginning you're very respectful and appropriate, Alright? And then gradually, you become very frank with them. And then eventually, you can even cross some lines of respect. Yourself. You have a lot of respect for your own time. You have a lot of respect for your own work. But then after some time, what happens? Do you neglect yourself? Do you neglect your health? Do you neglect your work? Of course. Think about it. At the time when the course began, how particular you were about certain things. And now? Yeah, of course. You know, lesson is done, no problem. Test, yeah, I'm used to it now. All right? As time goes by, our attitude towards many things becomes very casual. So when the months that are sacred are spread out through the year, then we are trained, we are made to practice adab and respect towards those things which deserve respect. Now, in particular, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. In the sacred months, do not commit ظُلْم on yourselves, on each other. Why? Because oppression, ظُلْم, is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden upon Himself, and He has also made it unlawful for His servants. Allah Himself does not commit any form of injustice, and He does not like it when His servants commit injustice. This is why He has prohibited us from committing ظُلْم. And ظُلْم, oppression, is something that will be darkness on the Day of Judgment. In hadith, it's very obvious that أَظُلْمُ ظُلُمَاتٌ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Oppression, injustice, being unfair with each other, taking the rights of others, neglecting the rights of others, this will be darkness on the Day of Resurrection. And in particular, a believer is careful with regards to how he deals with or she deals with other believers. In a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, this is in Bukhari, that a Muslim is a brother of another Muslim, so he should neither oppress him nor hand him over to an oppressor. So a believer neither commits injustice himself, nor does he cooperate in any form of injustice. You understand? A believer refrains from even cooperating in oppression. And remember the hadith that we learned in Aqidah about the three types of ظلم, right? One type of ظلم is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not leave, right? And the words of the hadith are, لَا يُتْرَكُ. It shall not be left, meaning it shall not be ignored. And what kind of oppression is that? That which is between people. And for that, qisas, retaliation, will be established on the Day of Judgment. And the Prophet ﷺ, this is a hadith in a silsilatul sahiha, that two types of people from my ummah shall never receive my intercession. One is imamun zalumun ghashumun, a leader who is extremely oppressive, and every person who in extreme ghulu, he exits the religion. Meaning he commits so much excess in the matters of religion that basically he's not upon religion anymore. So committing injustice against others, especially when a person has the ability to do so, has the power to do so, this is something that will be a source of disgrace and abandonment for a person on the Day of Judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He encourages us to refrain from ظلم. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, He encouraged us to refrain from ظلم also. So much so that we have been told, we have been advised to not be victims to other people's oppression. The Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ قُتِلَ دُونَ مَظْلَمَتِهِ فَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. Whoever is killed while resisting oppression is a martyr. Meaning if others are oppressing you, if others are doing ظلم on you, then you must not take it. You must resist it. And even if you are killed in that, then you are a martyr. So this teaches us that, you know, the month of Muharram is a reminder that our lives are sacred, our time is sacred. Our deen is sacred. Believers are sacred. Certain places are sacred. Certain times are sacred. And we must show respect to them. And when we do not show respect to them, that is a form of ظلم. Because what is the definition of ظلم, by the way? Reduction. نقص. Exactly. نقص. To not give to the other what he is deserving of. Right? To cause them loss. This is basically what ظلم is. That the other individual or person, even yourself, you're deserving of certain rights. Neglecting those rights would be doing ظلم, committing injustice. Whatever form, whatever shade, whatever color, it may come in. So the month of Muharram is a reminder that we have to show even more respect to matters, to things, to places that deserve respect. Now, in particular, what I would like to focus on, because this is a very broad topic, what I would like to focus on over here is, what respect is it that we have to show to each other? Meaning, حُرْمَةُ الْمُسْلِمِ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ. The sacredness, the sanctity of a Muslim upon another Muslim. And of course, while we are discussing the rights of another believer or the sacredness, the sanctity of another believer, the same goes for us also. We must also show respect to ourselves. Because life is short. Remember that the life, the property, and honor of a believer are all sacred. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is a hadith in Muslim, كُلُّ الْمُسْلِمِ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ حَرَامٌ. All of a Muslim, the whole of a Muslim, every part of a Muslim is sacred upon the other Muslim. دَمُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَعِرْضُهُ. His blood, meaning his life, his property, and his honor. Meaning we do not have the right to shed the blood of another Muslim. We do not have the right to take their property. We do not have the right to cause any harm to their honor either. Before the month of Muharram was which month? The month of Dhul-Hijjah. And Dhul-Hijjah is the time of Hajj. Right? And when we think about Hajj, we think about the Kaaba. We think about the sacred places, the sacred times, right? Tawaf, all of that. And in a hadith in Bukhari, we learned that at Hajjatul Wada', the Prophet ﷺ, he asked the people that what day is this? And they said, Allahu wa Rasuluhu A'lam. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Yawmun Haramun, it's a sacred day. And what day was it? The 10th of Dhul Hijjah. Then the Prophet ﷺ asked, which city is this? And they said, Allahu wa Rasuluhu A'lam. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Baladun Haram. It's a sacred city. The city of Mecca. The Prophet ﷺ asked, which month is this? Allahu wa Rasuluhu A'lam. And he said, Shahrun Haram. It's a sacred month. A sacred day, sacred city, and sacred month. And the Prophet ﷺ continued. He said, Allah has made your blood, your properties, and your honor sacred to one another, like the sanctity of this day of yours, in this month of yours, in this town of yours. So just think about how much respect we have for Mecca, that even if a crane falls, we are so disturbed, we are angry, that how come something was not done from before to prevent such an accident from happening? Isn't it? I mean, generally, even if Muslims are okay, they do show some kind of anger, right? But imagine, a Muslim's life, property, honor is far more sacred. You understand? When we think about the time of Hajj, when we think about the days of Hajj, there's so much importance attached to that. So much we respect it. You know, somebody says Hajj and we're like, ah. Oh. You know, somebody comes back from Hajj and we want a handshake. We have so much respect for somebody who went to Hajj 10 years ago. And at the same time, there's another person who has iman, but we have no respect for them. We'll insult them on their face. We'll backbite them. We don't have respect for their property. So this is something that we need to think about. So this hadith really puts it all in perspective. In another hadith, we learn the Prophet ﷺ, he looked towards the Kaaba and he said, O Kaaba, how great you are and how great is your sanctity. But the sanctity of the believer is greater before Allah than your sanctity. His blood and his wealth, and to think anything but good about him. When it comes to the Kaaba, yes, it has some respect, right? But when it comes to the believer, there is much more that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made sacred about a believer. Even from this hadith, what do we learn? That we cannot even think bad about another believer. We're not allowed to have su'ul dhan about another believer. We should always think positively about other believers. And when a person violates the sanctities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed, then this is something that makes Allah angry. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Inna Allah yagharu. Allah has ghira. What is ghira? We discussed this earlier. Protective jealousy. To get upset when things that matter to you are not shown respect. Right? Allah has protective jealousy. And Allah's protective jealousy is provoked when a believer does something which Allah has prohibited. When a believer does something that Allah has prohibited, this is something that causes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to become angry. Now, from the hadith that we have discussed over here, what we see is that the believer's life is sacred. Right? His blood is sacred. And of course, the Qur'an and Sunnah, you know, they emphasize this point very clearly. There's so many verses in the Qur'an, there's so many ahadith that we learn about that teach us that we must have respect for the life of other people. Because the one who does not show respect to the life of another individual, then such a person is hated near Allah. Right? Such a person is hated near Allah. In fact, every gate of paradise is open for the one who respects the life of another believer. In a hadith in Musnad Ahmad, we learn, whoever meets Allah while he does not associate any partners with him and has not stained his hands with the blood of another, shall be allowed to enter Jannah from whichever gate that he passes. So this is a very noble deed, defending the life of others. And over here, we must also think about protecting our own life, preserving our own health, because letting your body fall apart and not doing anything to preserve your body, this is injustice upon yourself. Right? Because you have the ability to protect your body. Right? And if we don't protect our body, if we let it fall apart, if we let it become weak and weak, deteriorate, and we're not giving it its haqq, this is zulm upon ourselves. So at the beginning of the year, let us all analyze the state of our physical health. And let us not ignore it anymore. Yes, I said that. Let us not ignore our physical health. Look at your physical condition. What is its state? Is your body aching somewhere? Are you getting enough fresh air? Are you getting enough exercise? Are you getting enough sleep? Are you eating healthy? Are you fasting? And if there is some kind of imbalance, then this is zulm upon yourself. Because if we do not take care of our body, we are doing zulm to it. We are not giving it its haqq. I don't mean that we should worship our bodies, right? To the extent that for every little thing we are spending so much time and we are, you know, fussing over every little thing, but pay a little bit of attention at least to your physical well-being. Because if our body is not in a good state, then can we perform well? Think about it. Can you perform well? If you haven't slept enough, and by enough I don't mean 10 hours, I mean, at least 5 to 6 hours. If you haven't slept that much, can you be attentive in class? Can you write your test properly? Can you review your lesson? Or will you be falling asleep after every ayah? And your teacher is telling you to wake up. Continue reading. Continue reciting. I'm still listening. And then it's possible that because we haven't eaten well, we haven't been taking care of our body, we're reading, we're reciting and reciting and reciting, but nothing is going in our head. Right? Because when the body is slow, the brain is also slow. Isn't it? And for you, because all of us over here are gathering over here for the purpose of learning, for the brain to be active and healthy, it's necessary for the body to be active and healthy also. You know, somebody once told me that exercise brings more benefit to your brain than it brings benefit to your body. Physical exercise. It is. Sometimes we think, I think I'm in good shape. I'm not overweight. You know, my clothes still fit me. And even if they don't fit me, alhamdulillah, I go to Al-Huda, so I have to wear an abaya with a hijab, so everything's covered anyway. No, seriously, we think like this. Right? But, I mean, physical health is necessary not just for good looks. Physical health is necessary for a healthy brain, a healthy mind. All right? Because if we haven't been out at all and we haven't had any fresh air, then that means the body is lacking in oxygen. Right? And if the body is lacking in oxygen, you think it's not going to affect the brain? Of course it will. And the Prophet ﷺ, He said, whoever is killed while defending his property is a martyr. And whoever is killed while defending his family is a martyr. And whoever is killed while defending his religion is a martyr. And whoever is killed while defending his life is a martyr. What does this show to us? Is it necessary for us to defend our lives, to protect our lives? Is it necessary? Yes, it is. Think about it. Haram food. It's understood it's haram. Right? But what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us in the Quran? فَمَنِ اضْطُرَّ غَيْرَ بَاغٍ وَلَا عَادٍ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ. Alright, that whoever is forced to consume that which is unlawful just to protect his life, then there is no sin on him. Imagine, for the protection of our life, we are allowed to consume haram food. Of the objectives of the Sharia is preservation of life. Alright? So, it's necessary that at this point, we, at the beginning of the year, we think about how we can improve our physical condition, our physical health, because this is necessary. All right? The second thing is the sanctity of property. Our own property, as well as the property of others. The wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, and the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to other people. The Prophet ﷺ said, it is not permissible for a person to take the property of his brother without right. It is not allowed that we take something that belongs to another person without right. Even if it's something small, unless the other person has allowed us. You understand? Because sometimes we might think, oh, it's only slippers. You know, what's the big deal? It's only a juz. It's only a pen. You know, sometimes it could be just a pen. Right? We think it's only a pen. I can take it. And we're enjoying writing with that pen, and the person to whom that pen belongs to is looking for it, wondering where it went, and they're finding it difficult to take notes with another pen that they've found now. Has it ever happened to you? I don't know about you, but when I'm writing by hand, I have to use a specific kind of a pen. Otherwise, my hand just doesn't flow. You know what I mean? It just doesn't flow. So if the pen that I'm used to is not there, I find it very difficult to write. So we might underestimate the value of something just because we think it came from the dollar store, but the fact that it belongs to somebody else is enough reason for us to respect and not take it without any right. And protecting the wealth, the property of other people, this is a sign of iman. The Prophet ﷺ said, a Muslim is one from whose tongue and hand other Muslims are safe. And a believer, there's a difference over here. Al-Muslimu, who's the Muslim? From one whose tongue and hands, other Muslims are safe. And a believer is one in whom people place their trust in regard to their life and wealth. Meaning a believer is reliable. A believer is who? Reliable. You can trust him with your property. You can trust him even with your life. You know that he's not going to harm you or harm your wealth. The Prophet ﷺ, he even forbade us from taking the property of another in jest, meaning just while joking. Even that is not allowed. In a hadith in Abu Dawud, we learn the Prophet ﷺ said, none of you should take the property of his brother in amusement. In amusement. La'iban. While just playing. That just playfully take it. And then, you know, for example, very casually we say to somebody, oh, I'm taking this pen, okay? And then you have a grin on your face and the other person's like, but it's my pen. I'm taking it. Finders, keepers, you know, things like that. This is not allowed either. The Prophet ﷺ, he advised us that from so many ahadith, we learned that if a person takes the wealth, the property of another without right, then this is something that has consequences, even in this life. First of all, in that property, there will be no blessing. No barakah. In a hadith we learn, this is in Musnad Ahmad, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever takes the property of his brother by a false oath, meaning he swears a false oath so that he can take the property of another person, then may Allah not bless him in it. May Allah not bless him in it. This is the Prophet ﷺ's dua against the person who takes the property of another unlawfully. In another hadith we learn, the Prophet ﷺ said, he who eats, this is a hadith in Musnad Ahmad also, he who eats a morsel of food belonging to a Muslim unlawfully, even one bite of food, unlawfully, then Allah shall feed him its equivalent from hell. He who wears the cloth of a Muslim unlawfully, then Allah shall clothe him with its equivalent from hell. This is a very serious matter. Because as time goes by, we begin to lose respect for even the things that belong to others, the food that belongs to others. People's private things, you know, their private matters, we don't show respect to that. But this is something that will take a person to punishment in the hereafter. The Prophet ﷺ said, the lost property of a Muslim is a piece of the fire, so do not approach it. Do not approach it. Meaning, don't take it like that. If you find a lost item, then what should you do? Deposit it in the lost and found. Don't say, oh, nice box. Nice lunch box. Nice water bottle. Somebody just left it in the cafeteria. You know, I know how much it's for. Let me just take it for free. No, we cannot take it for free. Deposit it in the lost and found. And then they do whatever they have to with it. We are no ones to take it without any right. In another hadith we learn, the Prophet ﷺ said, the one who consumes the wealth of a Muslim through false oaths should prepare his abode in the fire. And in the ahadith that I mentioned to you earlier, we learned about the importance of defending one's property. Right? Where it's necessary that we defend our life, we must also defend our property. Because if a person is killed in this cause, basically he is killed while he is defending his property, then he would also be a martyr. So how is it that we should defend our property? You see, there's different types of things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Right? One is, you know, physical, tangible rizq. Okay? And another type is that which is ma'nawi or intangible. Right? We can't touch it, but it's also a blessing. It's also something that we have been given in a limited amount for a short period of time. And what is that? Give me examples of such blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Intellect and time. Time is also a huge blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. And if we don't show respect to our own time, then we cannot expect from other people to show respect to our time. If we don't value our time, then we cannot expect others to value our time. If we don't take advantage of our time, if we don't use it properly, then what will happen? Other people will also force us in situations where our time will be wasted. Right? So how is it that we should take advantage of the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us? Okay, making a schedule for yourself. Having some kind of a routine. Because when you have a routine, okay, a schedule, then what happens is that performing those same actions takes less mental strain, you could say. Right? When you have your routine, your things organized, then what happens is that you don't waste too much time in figuring things out. Right? Like for example, if it is your routine daily, that I wake up in the morning, right? I do my salah, I do my adhkar, because if I don't do them, then what will happen? My whole day will lack barakah. And this is true. If we do not take time out for ibadah of Allah, for adhkar, especially in the morning, then what will happen? The whole day will be a mess. It's as if we are just chasing our own tail all day long. Literally. Having nothing accomplished at the end of the day and only feeling exhausted. So your morning adhkar are essential. Okay? But why is it that we neglect the morning adhkar? We think that spending those 5 minutes in adhkar is a waste of time. Seriously. We do think that it's wasting time, which is why we don't want to invest even 5 minutes for dhikr. We think in those 5 minutes, we can get a whole lot of other things done. Whereas what is it that we end up doing? Just reading WhatsApp, maybe? Right? Seeing whatever has happened in the last 6 hours while we were sleeping? That's completely irrelevant to us? Seriously, after salah, what is it that our hand reaches out for? Tell me. Phone. Generally, we pick up the phone to do our adhkar. Right? So that we can open up the Iyyaka Nasta'in app or Dua Kijiye app or something like that, right? But then before we reach the app, something else distracts us. So time has been wasted over there. It's been wasted over there. Valuable, precious time, precious blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us.
We don't have time after.
Yeah, as long as the time has entered. Because it's supposed to be adhkarul sabah, not adhkarul layl. Before Fajr is Layl. It's the last third of the night. Okay? So once the time of Fajr has entered, then from then until sunrise, any time. Okay? So you could do it even while making your bed. By now, alhamdulillah, you should have a habit of, you know, reciting your adhkar. Seriously. Seriously, you could do that. But if it's something that distracts you, then make a point of sitting down at least for a month or 2 months every single day so that you get into that habit. Okay? How else is it that we can value our time? What is time? Okay, something you can never reverse. What is time? Think about it. Life, right? It is life. Because what portion of time is it that we have been given? The life that we're living. We haven't been given time before we were born, and we shall not be given time after we die, right? So time is basically our life. And our life is basically what we do, isn't it? It is what we do. Because if an hour is spent just lying down and staring at the ceiling and thinking about randomness, is that really life? You know, this is why it is said that wasting time is worse than death. Wasting time is worse than being dead. Because being dead, that only cuts you off from this world. But wasting your time could actually cut you off, distance you from who? From your Lord, from Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is worse than being dead. Now, there are many things that we have to do. Like, for example, you have to look after your family. You have to look after yourself. You have to do your job. You have to, you know, do your studies. You have to help other people out. But there is only so much time that you have, that you can fill with different things that you could possibly do. Correct? Can you do everything? If you're here right now, can you also be somewhere else? If you're taking notes right now, can you also be eating at the same time? No. Because if you try to do that, what's going to happen? Either you're going to forget to bite. You know, you could bite your tongue, right? Or your coffee might spill. Or your notes will get all oily and greasy, isn't it? We think we can multitask. We actually deceive ourselves, thinking that we can do multiple things at the same time. There are many things that you could possibly do at the same time, but things that require brain power, we cannot do at the same time. So then what do we do and what do we leave? Prioritize. How do you prioritize? How? Always analyze the things that you have to do. Okay? Think about it. It is time for Maghrib. Okay? You want to perform your Maghrib Salah. You also want to review your lesson. You also want to do some recitation of the Quran. One page, two pages. You also want to talk to your friend. And you also want to answer all the messages that have flooded your phone. Okay? So these are five things that you have to do when the Adhan for Maghrib goes. Now, what do you do and what do you leave? You have to prioritize. Start with what? Fard. Start with Fard. What is Fard at that time? Salatul Maghrib. Now in our life also, what is Fard on us? The obligations that are on us, given the relationships that we are in, or the commitments that we have made. So for example, if you're studying, this is a commitment. You understand? So should you be checking your phone, or should you be doing your lesson next? What should you do? Lesson. Alright? So this way, prioritize. What is most important, then what is most important, then what is most important. And eventually what will happen is that things that are unnecessary, really, they will get out of your life. So there will be times when you will see that there were about 200 messages on WhatsApp, and you didn't get a chance to go through all of them. And now it's too late. And then you tell yourself, it doesn't matter. And really, does it matter? Does it matter? It doesn't. So that was something that was unnecessary, extra in your life, and automatically when you focused on what was important, automatically the time wasters, they got out of your way. So we have this, you know, struggle all the time that how do I manage? How do I manage? How do you manage? Start with what is most essential. And of course, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for barakah in your time. Right? And the third thing that we learn about is the sanctity of honor. Right? Of one's own honor, of the honor of other people. And for that, of course, these are just reminders for myself and yourself. Refraining from backbiting, gossiping, doing anything, saying anything that would cause hatred between people, that would cause problems amongst people. Also severing blood ties. This is something that's not acceptable. Lying, jealousy, bad supposition, spying on others, harboring grudges. Right? Because that's something that destroys one's religion. Frightening other people. This is all something that contradicts respecting honor of others. Right? And we have been encouraged to defend our honor. That we must not let other people just walk over us and humiliate us. No, we must stand up for the defense of our honor. Now, these were just reminders concerning the month of Muharram. And inshallah, this is something that we need to remind ourselves of for the whole year. Right? Respecting our life, our property, and our honor, as well as of other people. Right? And of course, in the month of Muharram, remember the Prophet ﷺ, he said the best of fasting after Ramadan is fasting in Allah's month, Al-Muharram. The best fasting. So if we have any fasts to make up, this is the best time of the year. Even if you think about it, the days are short. Right? So really, it's best time to fast in the kauni sense and in the shar'i sense. Right? And in particular, which day? Ashura. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, I never saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so keen to fast any day and give it priority over any other day than this day, the day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram. And what is the importance of this day? When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina, he saw the Yahud fasting, right? And he asked about it, and he was told that this is the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved the Bani Israel from Fir'aun. And he said that we have more right to do that. But to be different from them in action, the Prophet ﷺ said that next year he would fast 2 days instead of one. So it is better, mustahab, to fast either the 9th and 10th or the 10th and 11th. So whichever day. So basically the 10th should be joined with either the day before or the day after. It is mustahab, but it is not mandatory. Alright? Meaning if a person is not able to fast on the 9th or the 11th, then he must not think that their fasting of Ashura was invalid. No, it was still valid. And remember that even the Sahabiyat, you know, we learn about the Sahabiyat, that how they would make their children fast on Ashura also. This is in Bukhari, that Rubayr bint Mu'awwid, she said that we observed fasting on the day of Ashura, and we made our children observe it also. And we distracted them with toys made out of wool. And when anyone felt hungry and wept for food, we gave them these toys till it was time to break the fast. This is in Bukhari. So there should be a special emphasis. I'm not saying keep your children hungry, and when something happens then you blame me for it. This is just an encouragement that if those children who are of age may be encouraged. And especially elders who have that capacity, who have the strength, should be encouraged. Right? Because this is the best time of the year to fast. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to take advantage of this time in this sacred month as well as throughout the year, so that at the end of our lives we have something that we have accomplished, we have produced, and not that life has just passed in front of us while we have been figuring things out and just making mistakes and basically losing our life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.